Hey, we're going to go ahead and send the children back to Children's Church at this time. I was wondering where I left my Bible. Apparently, I left it up here last week. You never look in the most obvious places. Hey, I do. I have multiple Bibles, praise God. Hey, you know what? We think that's silly and we take that for granted, but 500 years ago, people didn't have that, you know? Whole communities had to share one Bible back then. We are in a blessed time. And because we're in a blessed time, guess what? We're going to be held to a higher level of accountability for the stuff that's in that book, too. Hey, I just noticed up here that there are only two candles lit. And I know that God has answered more prayers than two this week. So if God has answered a prayer of yours this week, feel free to come on up and light one of these candles. Okay, like I said, we have dismissed the children back to Children's Church. We are in our fourth week of our new-ish series called One Anothering. And Jeremiah, go ahead and launch that. I've got a big praise this morning because five of our teenagers have now completed the Creative Discipleship Program. And I just want to let you know a little bit about this, okay? For those of you that may have missed the couple times that we've talked about this, the teens have certain things that we ask them to do during youth group and throughout the year, such as showing up for youth group. That's kind of important. Doing scripture memorization and a quiet time. Quiet time is basically they have a passage of scripture every day that they spend a little bit of time in. They either answer some questions or they write down what they think God is trying to tell them through that passage of scripture. They do Christian service. They share the gospel with people and they have to get points from each of those categories in order to qualify. Now, the church this past year made a decision that we were going to spend $1,100 and we were going to buy Word of Life curriculum for all the way from preschool through the end of high school. So all of our youth classes, they all use the Word of Life program. And that brings a consistency to our teaching all the way from preschool through the end of high school. What gives our high schoolers an advantage that a lot of youth groups don't have is that for doing things that are normal Christian discipleship things, they can earn rewards. And a lot of youth groups don't have that opportunity. They can earn a $500 scholarship each year. They can earn a free week at camp, which costs somewhere between $400 and $500. And then they can earn a ticket to an overnight event called Reverb that happens over in Kalamazoo. They go to a hockey game, there's a gospel presentation, and then they spend all night either at one of the local bowling alleys over there or the Western Michigan University Rec Center. And I think that some of them probably did the Creative Discipleship Program just for that. I mean, let alone the rest of it. But here's the thing. This $500 scholarship that they can earn that each year that they are in our middle school and high school program. Okay? And this church has a slight advantage even over the other Word of Life churches because, ours starts in sixth grade and everybody else's starts in seventh grade. So our teenagers can earn up to $3,500 towards a year at Word of Life by the time that they're done with high school, just by completing the Creative Discipleship Program. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So for the church, we make an $1,100 investment into our students, and we ask parents to buy those students a quiet time. That is one of the most important aspects of this Creative Discipleship Program. So parents invest $22 per child. And on the other side of it, if they do the whole program, they come out with $1,000 worth of rewards. So that's a pretty good deal, I think. from our congregation this year, Daniel Beecraft, Matthew Hickok, Liberty Hickok, Nathan Beecraft, and Jenna Evans have all completed the Creative Discipleship Program this year. Should I tell them, Jenna? Yeah. I got a text from Ellen this morning at 2 o'clock in the morning telling me Jenna's finishing right now so that you can announce her tomorrow morning. So, praise God, praise God. They actually have 2 weeks to complete it still. I don't know if you knew that, but... Yeah, so we had 5 this year. I'm hoping for 10 next year. Does that sound reasonable? Is that too low? All right. The advantage that they have this year over, or this coming year over this current year, though, is that they can start accumulating points on June 1st, whereas last year we made them wait until September. Yeah. So they can start earning their points on June 1st this year. Okay? So that's all I've got about that. I want to tell you about, we've been announcing for a couple weeks, we're going to be doing a remodel. Surprise, surprise, right? This is the 4th year in a row that we've done a summer remodel. The first year was the gym. The second year was the foyer and the youth room. Last year was the library and one of the classrooms in the south wing. This year is going to be the entire youth area, the entire West Wing. Okay, one person's excited about that. That's cool. That's cool. So basically, from the time that you exit that door right there, all the way till you get down to the youth room bathroom, we're going to be remodeling that whole area there. It's a little bit over 2,000 square feet that we're going to be remodeling. Okay. Now, we're not going to be doing everything. We're not going to be putting in new flooring in most of that area because that gets pretty costly. We're going to be doing cheap stuff like painting and tearing out walls, which is fun. So this is what the youth wing looks like currently, and I'm going to bring up a second picture of that, and then I'm going to show you what we're going to be doing. So you notice here we've got the preschool room here, and then we've got the room that they have snack in. Ryan Shriver and I, this past week, before he found out that he had a torn labrum in his shoulder, and he'll be having surgery on the 29th, so be praying for him. Before he found out about that, we tore out that wall in between. So that's now one big classroom for them to have, their whole preschool thing. And they were already this morning saying how wonderful that is. So praise God for that. So the next thing that we're going to be doing is, and I know this is going to seem a little bit silly, but we got to do it anyway. This restroom up here, we're going to be tearing out that wall in the restroom, and we're going to be putting a handicap bathroom in down there. Now I know immediately what you're thinking is, why are we putting in a handicap bathroom all the way down at the end of that hall down there? Okay. Well, here's why. Number one, in order for us to do this remodel project, the township is requiring us to put in a handicap bathroom. One. Okay. All of our other restrooms have cinder block walls on all four sides. That makes it really difficult to expand any of our current bathrooms, down this way in order to be a handicap bathroom. The one by Pastor Andy's office is close to a handicap bathroom, but even that's not large enough to be a handicap. So we are turning this one down by the youth room into a handicap bathroom, and I'll explain a little bit more about that in a minute. But I want to tell you the other thing that we're doing. This children's church room right here, last year we raised $2,100 to put a fire door in here that the fire marshal was requiring, okay? And we haven't purchased it yet. We've got the $2,100 sitting. We were waiting for some time to be able to do it when there was no Cub Scouts and no homeschool. Well, now there's no Cub Scouts and no homeschool, so that opens up the opportunity to do that. So we're going to be taking out this wall in the children's church area, and we're going to be building a new check-in area at the beginning of that hallway, and then putting in that fire door so that the children's church area will now be square instead of the rectangle shape that it has been, which should make it more conducive for the teachers that are teaching children's church. But then in addition to that, one of the things that we would like to do, and I say would like to do because we don't have the money to do it. Okay? One of the things that we would like to do is we would like to put in a second handicap bathroom right outside this door here and right accessible for this auditorium. So if you would prefer a handicap restroom, and you're in here and you need to get to one quickly, we would like to put one right outside this door here, okay? However, we do not have the money for that right now, okay? The other thing that if we were to put in a handicap restroom here, we are hoping that the township would allow us to put in a single toilet in addition to that, that would be accessible to the children's church room, and then we would put a sink outside, actually in the classroom for the student after they use the restroom or in case they're having a snack or something like that, that children can wash their hands right there. Okay, so that's what we would like to do. We currently do not have the money for that. Okay, now, one of the things we had to do was call a plumber and say, is that even possible? So on our building plans, we have these old building plans from 1977, and on these building plans, everywhere that there's a B, there is water. Okay? So, for example, you know we just put in the sink and faucet in the library last year. That's this B right here. Actually, it's on this other side here. But there was water there. On this building plan, the men's restroom, the ladies' restroom, the one by Pastor Andy's office, and the one down for the youth room, they all have Bs. Okay? In this area here, where Children's Church currently is and where their game room is, there's Bs, but there's no plumbing. So in theory, at one time, there was plumbing there. So we had three plumbers come in this week, and I showed them the plans, and they said, do you have the sewer plan? And I said, I don't know. I got a lot of things. We went back into the office. We found the sewer plan, and here's what the sewer plan does. It actually runs right in front of the building all the way out to the road over here. So praise God for that, because if we accumulate the money to be able to do this family restroom, then we can tie right into the sewer that's already there. So we're praising God for that. We're praying that God would provide the means to be able to do it. Okay? And I don't have a number for you yet. I had three plumbers come out. I'm waiting for them to tell me how much it's going to cost. All right. So now that we've had our congregational meeting for today, I know there's another announcement that I'm supposed to say, but I can't remember what it is. So let's have a word of prayer. We're gonna talk about one anothering. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've given us as a down payment of our eternal life. We know that because we've placed our trust in you, we can have assurance of salvation. We are your children. We've been adopted into your family. We have no doubt about that, Lord. We know that one day we will be face to face with you. And we think about those who have gone on before us, Lord. We await that day where we can see them face to face. We also await that day where we can see you face to face, Lord. We are so excited about seeing our resurrected Savior in person and just talking to you about the amazing things that you've done for us, Lord. I pray that as we look at your word today, we would be encouraged to encourage one another. Lord, not only might we receive comfort from your word, but we might reach out in comfort to those who are suffering, Lord. We pray that you would be honored and glorified by this message today, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so today's message is called Encourage One Another. This is our fourth message in the series. The first one was regard one another as more important than yourselves. The second one, Pastor Dan spoke on, be kind to one another. Okay? And then last week on Mother's Day, we talked about honoring one another. That means showing that people are valuable, not just for what they do, but for who they are. Individuals made in the image of God. Every person is valuable, right? Today we're going to talk about encouraging one another. But I want to go back to that Philippians chapter 2 verse that has been our launching point for this series. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. And I'm just going to, if you can memorize nothing else from this series, if you don't remember anything else at all, this is what I want you to grab, okay? The Apostle Paul said, regard one another as more important than yourselves. If you don't get anything else, we need to get that. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Okay? And then he continues on and he tells us why. He gives us the example of Jesus, and that Jesus, even though he was God, came down to earth, lived amongst people, and then died on the cross. That's his reasoning. He gives Jesus as the example. Jesus did this. We ought to also be able to do it. So this series, this whole One Another in series, is geared towards an assumption that I'm making, and it's a dangerous assumption for me to make. The assumption that I'm making is that you already at some point have placed your trust in Jesus Christ. And if you've placed your trust in Jesus Christ, then you know that you have eternal life. And that's the assumption that I'm starting with. Okay? If you have not done that, that is the most important thing that you could ever do. Placing your trust in Jesus Christ. Receiving that eternal life. And at that moment that you place your trust in Jesus, you are then adopted into the family of God. You are what the Bible calls born again. You have received the Holy Spirit as a down payment of that eternal life. Now you might be sitting there thinking, well, I don't really feel any different than I did before I accepted Christ. Let me just assure you, the promise is there. The moment you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And God says he gave it to you as a down payment of eternal life. And we know what a down payment is, right? If I buy a house, I put a down payment on it with the idea that one day I will own it. I will own it. So we've been given the Holy Spirit as the down payment of that. Okay, so that's the assumption that I'm making. Now, if that is true of you, if you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ, then this series is absolutely for you. And it starts with, regard one another as more important than yourself. But throughout the New Testament, there are tons of passages that talk about how we ought to relate to one another. And each of these passages that talk about how we, as Christians, ought to relate to one another, all refer back to the same idea. We need to relate to each other this way because that's what Jesus did. So regard one another as more important than yourself. And then our specific one this morning is the phrase, encourage one another. The phrase, encourage one another, shows up in at least five, I found five, New Testament passages. If it shows up five times, it's probably pretty important. Okay? Five times, the Apostle Paul says, encourage one another. Actually, let me put a little caveat on that. Three times the Apostle Paul says it, and whoever wrote the book of Hebrews says it twice, which is probably the Apostle Paul, but I'm not going to guarantee that. This phrase that he uses for the word encourage is sometimes translated in your English New Testament as comfort. And it's the Greek word parakaleo. parakaleo. Now, I know that we're not Greek scholars, but what does that word sound like? Oh, I heard. Was that you, Mike? Mike said paraclete. Now, if I say the word paraclete, who am I talking about? The Holy Spirit. The word paraclete is the same word when Jesus says, I will send you another comforter. And he's referring to when he leaves. He actually says, Jesus actually says before his ascension into heaven, it's to your advantage that I leave. And the apostles stood there going, ha! To our advantage that you leave, we want you, you just rose from the dead. We want you here with us. Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I leave. And then he says, because if I don't, I can't send the Holy Spirit. I can't send the paraclete. Now this word paraclete, it comes from two partial words. Para, meaning alongside, and kaleo, meaning to call. So like, for example, if you were to think of Life Plan here in Niles, you know, Life Plan, formerly the Pregnancy Care Center, we're probably going to say that for years. They are a para church ministry, right? Para church. They come alongside the church. We've been having a long discussion in our NAMA group about the difference between a para church ministry, one that comes alongside the church, and a parasite ministry, one that just sucks the church dry. Okay? Life Plan, in my opinion, is definitely a para church ministry. Okay? Comes alongside. This word parakaleo means to be called to one side. And this is the word that Paul uses in five different passages. Sorry, Paul uses it in three. Hebrews uses it twice. This is the word that is used five times in the New Testament for someone coming alongside someone else. Okay? And the reason that I have four in a box and one outside the box is because the four that are in the box all seem to deal with very similar things. The other one, we're not going to talk about that this week. We'll talk about that in a few weeks down the road. We're just going to talk about the four that are in the box. So, the first one, this is, I didn't mark it. This is 1 Thessalonians 4, and then I think it's 11 through 18. The Apostle Paul says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. A couple weeks ago, right before I went on vacation, I went to a funeral, and it was the most miserable funeral I've ever been to. You know why? Because it was clear that there was no hope of a resurrection involved in that funeral. Okay. There was grieving. Absolutely, there was grieving. There were memories shared, but it was very humanistic. There just wasn't hope, and it was incredibly sad. On the other side, I've been to several, I should say many, Christian funerals where it's been clear that the person has placed their trust in Jesus Christ, and this life is not the end. This life is not the end. They have a hope that springs eternal, right? So he says, I don't want you to be uninformed so that you don't grieve like those who don't have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and the voice of an archangel of Yeah, of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with those words. Hey, are you encouraged just by me reading those words? Man, if somebody's going through a hard time, remind them that this is not it. This is not it. This life is a blip on the radar. There is forever after this life. And that forever, if you've placed your trust in Jesus, includes Jesus forever. Encourage one another with those words. Man, this life is tough. I understand. Let's get through this life. Because on the other side, it's all worth it. All the pain, all the struggle, all the misery, all the backstabbing, all the harshness. It's all going to be worth it in the end. It doesn't feel like it now. But God is working all things together for good. Okay? Encourage one another with these words. All right. The second passage is the next chapter in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, but of course it's Paul, so he's going to. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light. If you've placed your trust in Jesus, he's talking to you. Children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. So the idea here is Paul is saying, let's be aware. Let's be awake. Let's be sober. Let's understand what's going on. As we see that this world looks like it's headed towards a train wreck, remember that that's not the end. Remember that we've read the last chapter and God wins. Right? We've read the last chapter. We know what happens. But right now, we're in the midst of it. And right now, we need to think to ourselves, God's in control. He's got this. No matter what I'm struggling with, no matter what I'm suffering through, he's got it. Okay? Encourage one another to be aware. All right, the next one is from Hebrews chapter 3. And I'm going to read you verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 3, even though it's not directly related to verses 12 and 13. I think it's important because it makes this whole thing much easier. All right? Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1 says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Or some translations say, fix your eyes on Jesus. Well, why? Why would we need to fix our eyes on Jesus? Or our thoughts on Jesus? Why? It's our hope? Yeah, absolutely. Why else? Okay. Getting our thoughts off of our current trials and fixed on Jesus. You know, I think the illustration from Luke chapter 15 of the wandering sheep and the shepherd goes off into the wilderness to find the lost sheep. You know why the sheep gets lost? Because he takes his eyes off the shepherd. He finds a nice tuft of grass, right? And so he walks up to it and starts munching on it. And as he gets close to the end, he looks around a little bit, and there's another nice tuft of grass, and he walks over to that, and then all of a sudden in the distance he hears a wolf howl, and he's looking around for where the wolf is, and 5 seconds later he's forgotten about the wolf, and he finds another tuft of grass and keeps wandering away, and all of a sudden he looks up and goes, "Where's the shepherd? Where's the shepherd?" And the shepherd's nowhere to be found. Shepherd didn't move. Shepherd was still where the shepherd was supposed to be. Who wandered? Sheep did. Sheep did. Remember that song? "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." We're the wanderers. Even though we've placed our trust in Jesus, we get focused on the things of this life. We get focused on the troubles that we're having. And we look up and we go, "Where'd the shepherd go? Shepherd didn't go anywhere. Sheep wandered off." We got to focus on the shepherd. All right, he says, "So see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." Now, I asked on Facebook this week, and the only response I got was no, so praise God for that. I said, "Does it bother you that the author of Hebrews, writing to these people that he calls brothers and sisters, warns them that they shouldn't have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God?" Because what that says is, a believer in Jesus Christ, a brother or sister, can have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Ooh. That's tough. I certainly don't want to be that person. So how do we stay away from that? Well, first of all, fix our thoughts on Jesus, but not alone. Not by ourselves, okay? Because there's a reason that God created church. There's a reason that he weaves us together as the body of Christ. We need each other. We need each other. People think they can go off and be Christians alone. You can be saved alone, but it's awful hard to do the things that God wants you to do alone. We need each other to continue to encourage us more and more as the day gets closer, because these days are hard. So, he continues and says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Encourage one another daily. Does that mean that we should have church every day? Man, I'd be tired. But I'd do it if that's what we needed to do. But here's the idea. We don't necessarily need to meet together every day, but we need to be available for each other every day. If somebody's struggling, they need to know that they have somebody that they can call on to say, "Man, I'm having a rough day. Would you just listen to me for a little while?" I think that's the hardest thing to find sometimes, is someone that will just listen to the problems that you're going through. We had a conversation with Bob and Sharon and I on Friday about how I am a fixer. I'm a fixer. If you tell me your problem, I want to fix it. And you know what? Sometimes the person that's telling me their problems doesn't at that point need a fixer. They just need somebody that's willing to listen. And as they speak to me, a lot of times they're sorting it out themselves anyway. By the time we're done talking, they've already got it figured out. They just need somebody that's willing to listen. And some of us just need somebody that I can call on a whim, that you can call on a whim and say, "Hey, I'm struggling today. I'm struggling with sin. I'm struggling with depression. I'm struggling with anxiety. I'm struggling with not making ends meet," or whatever it might be. We need one another. We've got to have those relationships with one another. All right, the last the last verse here. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, all right, we're talking to Christians again. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, how do we enter the most holy place? The blood of Jesus. If you don't have the blood of Jesus covering you, you can't enter the holy place. You can't relate to God, okay? By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. How are we supposed to hold on to that hope? We don't go to the left. We don't go to the right. We hold on to it. Okay? For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So as Christians, I'm going to pause right there. So as Christians, part of our job is to think through how can we motivate each other to move forward? How can we motivate each other to love more? How can we motivate each other to do more for God? I think about this sometimes. I think to myself, when somebody leaves the church, and maybe they go to a different church or whatever, and I call them, well, I'm the pastor calling them. And I wonder if anybody ever thinks, well, yeah, he's going to call me. He was paid to call me. How much more impactful would it be if somebody leaves and you call them? And you say, man, we love you and we miss you. We wish you were here. And we do it not because we feel like we have to, but we do it out of a sincere love. A sincere love. A truthful desire that we just want to be together. We just want to be together. How much better would that be? So, yeah, am I still going to call people? Sure. But if you miss somebody, call them. That's not that hard. Coming from a guy that doesn't like phones. Consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And then he says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. I like to throw this verse out every time that we finish our Sunday school year. Because I know attendance today is pretty good. I'm glad to have all of you here with us. I know that as soon as we get into our summer schedule, 20% of you won't be here. It's just the way it is. But you know what? It's hard because I know that coming into summer, we have a pretty united, full congregation. And then when fall kickoff comes, there's going to be people missing. And I don't know who they are right now. I don't know who's going to be gone when fall kickoff comes. But it's just the way it is. It's happened every year that I've been here. Okay? Not giving up the assembling of ourselves together as some are in the habit of doing. Why would we not give up the assembling of ourselves together? Because we need each other. Because we need each other. Okay? But rather encouraging one another. Okay? So the counterpoint to giving up the assembling of ourselves together is that parakaleo again. It's encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Now, people leave churches for different reasons. Some of them leave to go to another church. Some of them leave to not go to another church. All kinds of different reasons. But the idea here is we don't give up the assembling of ourselves together because Jesus is coming back soon. We don't know when, but he's coming back soon. And we are closer to that day than we've ever been before. Right? That's why we need to continue to encourage one another. Continue to draw one another back in, not even towards church, just back towards Jesus. When you notice somebody wandering, do what you can to draw them back to Jesus. In fact, the idea of this parakaleo and how it relates to the term paraclete, the Holy Spirit, is because each of us have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. We have a mission to be the Holy Spirit in other people's lives. Let me say that one more time. Because we've been given the Holy Spirit, he's been placed inside of us, we have the mission to be the Holy Spirit in one another's lives. And not in the calling out sin way, per se, because some of us can be awesome at that. Right? We have 20/20 vision of everybody else's sin. Can't see my own. I can see everybody else's. That's not the way that I'm talking about being the Holy Spirit in somebody else's life. It's the other ministry of the Holy Spirit that we need to be in other people's lives. The ministry of comfort. The ministry of encouragement. Okay? So, to recap, encourage one another with hope. To be aware. Encourage one another daily. Encourage one another together. We have just a couple minutes. Bob, I'm going to open up the mic. I want you to raise your hand if you are willing to share with us one way that you're going to encourage or comfort someone this week. Some of you are praying for somebody, either in this congregation or not in this congregation. How are you going to encourage them this week?
So one of the things that I do every day at work, and I truly, genuinely love my job because I have people that come to me from all walks that have no clue how to use technology, and they're genuinely afraid of it. So feel normal. But I encourage people on a daily basis that struggle with something that their cell phone or tablet or computer did that just...
That God has placed his Holy Spirit inside of us and given us that ministry of comfort and encouraging one another. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the amazing testimonies this morning. We thank you for what you've done in us and through us to encourage one another. And we pray that you would spur us on for love and even more of that, Lord, that you might receive the honor and glory that you deserve, Lord. Help us to be lights in this dark, dark world. In Jesus' name, amen.